I want to take a moment and just recognize the presence of God in this room. God's Spirit is here right now. I feel Him so tenderly, so closely. Let's just take a moment and just recognize God. Lord, thank You for Your presence. I know we're two or more gathered, You're there, but God, I just feel Your presence sweetly this morning. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You that You are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I get started into the message this morning, just some preliminary words. First off, this was Pastor Appreciation Month, and today is the last day, and I, as your pastor, want to appreciate you. I want to appreciate those that serve so diligently and so hard in the ministries they do, the worship team and the prayer team and those involved teaching classes, those that are elders, those that are on the board, those that are involved in greeting ministry, and those that are cleaners in our church. And you know, somebody swept up the leaves. I didn't have to do it this week. Whoever did it, thank you. I appreciate you. I just want to appreciate all that worked so hard in this ministry of here at Conroe. Second thing I want to just mention, I believe that greeters are absolutely important in our church. I believe the greeters ministry is just really important. And what I started doing on the email, and if you don't get the emails, the church emails, please let me know, and we'll add it on there. Let me or somebody know, and we'll make sure you get added to the church emails that go out. I've been adding to those church emails who's been assigned to the greeting, and you know, the way that it's been done, it's been up to this point, and please don't blame me for that. But I want to make sure you know that you're on that list, and if for some reason you can't be here, make sure you contact me. Make sure you let me know. I believe that greeter ministry is really an important ministry. So today, as we get into our message this morning, you know, Sesame Street, you know how they say that this message was brought to you by the number, you know, whatever. I want to tell you today's message is brought to you by the doctrine of Christian living that we have here. We have a doctrine in our church doctrinal that says about Christian living, about living holy lives and whatnot. I'm inspired by that this morning. By the number two, we're going to talk about two paths this morning, the two paths of Christian living. And actually, in talking about two paths of Christian living, we're talking about one of those paths being not the right path, so not really a path for Christian living. We'll talk more about that this morning. And also brought to you by the brilliant mind of Dr. Stanley, whom I borrowed heavily in my thinking processes here this morning. And I'm just grateful to all of for his work and his ministry. The choices that we make today will impact our future. We make so many choices that impact our lives, impact our tomorrow, impact what I decide today might impact me later this afternoon. Our choices that we make today impact our future. It's important that we are careful in our choices, are careful in the decisions that we make, because they do impact us. They do affect us later on down the road. We sometimes, for whatever reason, we make those choices. We make, you know, whether we make them prayerfully or whether we make them because it serves us in some way, we make these choices, and we try to make them so carefully because they do impact us later on. There's probably a lot of choices, a lot of decisions that we've made that we wish we didn't make. That we wish we could go back. We wish we could reverse it and go back and take it back and not have made that decision. Whatever our motive was in making it, now it's impacting us down the road. And we wish we could go back and remake those choices. If we'd only known, we wouldn't have gone down that path. Now, we all are on a path. Whether we chose that path or not is irrelevant. We're all on a journey. We're all on a path. And we make choices that affect us on that road, that affect us on that path. And, you know, if we knew now, if I knew now, you know, back then, if I knew back then what I know now, would I have made those choices that would have affected me like they do today? In God's Word, Christ, we're going to look in the book of Matthew here today, Christ has given us some really clear direction. really clear insight, crystal clear insight into what path he wants us to go down. And the message today, the two paths of Christian living, we're going to see there's these two paths that Christ points out in the Gospel of Matthew. If you look at your Bible with me or follow along, Matthew chapter 7, we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount. But specifically, we're looking at chapter 7 here. And he's teaching them, and he says, enter at the narrow gate. Now drop on down to verse 14. Take a look at verse 14. He says, because small is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So we see this particular gate, this particular road that it leads down. It's narrow, it's small, there's few that tread upon it. Now look again at verse 13. Enter at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who are going through it. This particular gate has a lot of people on it. It's a gate that leads down a road, down a path that leads to destruction, whereas the other gate, narrow, and it leads down a road or a path that leads to life. Christ here limits our choices. He only gives us a couple of options. He gives us these two gates, these two paths. We all have chosen a path. We may not realize that we have chosen a path. We may not recognize that that's the path that we are on. Maybe you did. Maybe you said, this is the way my life is supposed to go. This is where I'm headed. Perhaps you haven't. But we are all on a path. We are all on a road in life. Question is, where is it leading us? Where is it taking you? Because one path there leads to life and one path to destruction. So crystal clear that Jesus makes it. He doesn't allow for any room in between. He doesn't say there's a third option. He doesn't say there's some gray in the middle. He says there are two gates, one to life and one to destruction. It's interesting that he points out those two gates. I mean, if you look on down in your passage here, he points out two of several things. He says there's two gates, two ways, two destinations, two groups, two trees, two builders, two foundations, two houses, two responses, two. And yet, there are two paths, these two ways, these two options. One that leads to life and one to destruction. Which path are you on? Which path are you headed down? Where is it taking you? First off, he gives us the broad way, the broad path. This is the path where we can believe whatever we want to. We can do whatever we want to. It is we are free to be whatever kind of person that we want to be. Live however we want to live. Think what we ever want to think. It's the broad way. It is a crowded path. I was coming back up from the Woodlands yesterday, and how many lanes are on that freeway? And yeah, it was unbelievable. It was packed because they had shut down that freeway, and we were stuck in that for like 3.5 hours, it seems like. Unbelievable amount of time, and you could look over, and we got off, we were on the frontage road or whatever you call it, and we could look over and you could see the freeway and you could see just the cars that weren't moving and they were packed in there. It is a crowded path. You know, like it or not, this Christian life, it is a life that not everybody chooses. It's a life that it's the narrow way. The broad way has a lot of people going down that road. You know, if you choose the broad path, you would be in quite a company of people that are also on that path. I have asked many people over the years what their religious background is, and it is amazing that the responses have been so varied, just ranging. I mean, several people who claim to be a Christian, but they don't go to church, people that believe in God, but they don't claim to be a Christian, people that are agnostic and atheist and Buddhist, and known quite a few Buddhist people, but you ask them, what's their religious background? And that response, who knows what you're going to get. It's the reason I ask that question a lot. I don't assume people are Christian when I'm talking with them, unless they claim upfront to be a Christian. I want to know, what's your religious background? That way I know where I'm standing when I'm talking with them. I know if I want to share Jesus with them or whatever, because the broad way is the crowded way. It's the way that so many are on. The broad way is ungodly. It's that way that you can live however you want. It is that free way, so to speak. It's that way where you're free to be whatever you want to be and live however you want to live. It is Satan's path. It is the road that Satan's trying to take you down if you go down that road. It is, our passage says, it is the way that leads to destruction. Leads ultimately to eternal destruction. It is the ungodly path. It's not the way that God wants to take you down. God wants to bring you back onto the narrow path. God wants you on that narrow road. He will do everything He can to bring you back onto that narrow way, but so many are on this ungodly path leading towards destruction. It's a path of no peace and no joy. You know, you might say you have peace and say you have joy and say you have security in your heart when you're on the broad path, when you're not on the narrow path, but I guarantee you it's not true joy. Regardless of what you try to tell me, it's not true joy or true peace. You do not know security. If I were to ask you today where you would go when you die, and you're an atheist or agnostic, you probably would say nowhere. You wouldn't know what to tell me. There's no security in it. No true joy of the Lord in it. No true peace in it. No true confidence. It's the path of darkness. You know, it's interesting. When you talk about crimes, you talk about shady dealings, you talk about crimes happening in the dark, you talk about shadowy figures. People, you know, when you think of crime, you think of dark. And actually, when you think of unhealthy lifestyles, you think of dark too. When you think of bars, you think they always have the lights turned down. Or if you go to a club, the lights are all dimmed, real, you know, it's a dark place. I think that's a biblical thing. The Bible kind of actually lines up with that. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They do not know at what they stumble." The way of the wicked is as darkness. It's a dark path. It's a dark road that they are going down. And actually, in the Gospels, it kind of reiterates that. John chapter 3, verse 19 says, "This is the verdict, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." We assume here, evil deeds equals darkness. Men love darkness. They were evil. They were thinking on evil. They were doing evil deeds, and they loved the darkness. We as Christians should love the light. The verse goes on. It says, "For everyone who does evil hates the light. It does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Those that are doing evil hate the light. They don't want the light. But we who believe in Jesus Christ, we who follow after Him, should love the light and follow after the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus says He is the light. When Jesus was leaving this world, He says, "You are the light of the world. You are salt. You are light. You are sharing that light with others. You are Christ's light towards others." And yet others do not like the light. The reason we have such a hard time sharing our faith with others, because we know at the back of our mind, they do not like the light. They don't want the light. We are that light. I've known agnostics. You know, it seems like when I was living in Washington, agnostics or agnosticism was a buzzword for a lot of people out there. If they didn't know what they believed, they just claimed to be an agnostic. Or if, you know, it's funny because agnosticism is this idea that you do not believe that there's no, you cannot know the actual truth. You cannot know the truth. And so they say they're agnostic because they cannot know. There's no knowledge. Gnostic means knowledge, and ag, the word A there, the letter A, meaning no knowledge. There's no knowledge. which is interesting because I've known a lot of agnostics who actually believed in evolution, which is something that they're actually believing in. They think that they're confused about the term. But a lot of those that were agnostics that I knew, I would ask them, you know, well, what do you believe? Where are you going? What is it that you actually believe in? Because I didn't know. Just because they said they're agnostic doesn't mean I actually knew what they believed in. So I'd ask them, what do you actually believe in? It's interesting because they don't know. There was no confidence in them for what they believe. I mean, they might believe in evolution, but they don't know what they believe about evolution. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where, if you were to ask them, what's happening after that? They don't know. There's no comfort. There's no peace. There's no security in that. What hope do they have? What assurance do they have? The broad road brings disappointment. Oh, you can try to tell me that you are happy living in sin. You can try to tell me that you living in sin, you know, you're still happy, but I know better. I know people that live in sin are living miserable lives. They're suffering. They're hurting. It's not a happy road. You can try to convince yourself that your sin is okay. You can try to convince yourself that God is okay with it. Friend, I know better. God is not okay with sin. God is not okay with sin. And I know you're suffering if you're living in sin. You're struggling. You're not happy. You might know friends. You might have friends or family that are in that situation. You can't convince me that you're happy if you're living in sin. The broad path ends in destruction. It leads down the road to destruction. We see in Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and 37, he says, when he had called the people to him with his disciples, he said to them, this is Jesus talking, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If we are to follow after Jesus, there's a process of denial of ourselves, denial of surrendering our desires and our passions and our wants and giving them to Jesus, denying ourselves, taking up the cross and following after him. But it says in 35, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever would lose his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Friend, I don't mean any offense by this, but you are foolish if you believe that you can live in absolute disobedience to God, fulfilling your desires, thinking that someday it's going to get better. Someday that you'll turn and you'll be suddenly on the right path somehow by accident. You are foolish if that's what you think, that you can live in total denial of God's will for your life and thinking that someday, somehow, that you're just going to get on the right road, somehow by accident. It's not going to happen. It won't. You'll be captivated by your own passions and your own desires and your own lust. You'll be captivated by it. You'll be trapped in your own addictions. It is the way of destruction. It is the way of disappointment. It's the way of darkness. Yet Jesus says there is another path. Jesus says there's another path. He calls it the narrow way. Our job is to get the truth out there. We're preaching the truth. We're trying to get the truth. We're sharing God's word and trying to get the word and trying to lead people to Christ and bring them into the church and develop into disciples of Jesus Christ and grow God's kingdom. And I praise God for those that are active in doing that. I'm blessed to hear that we have young people going on a mission trip. That's going to just impact your lives tremendously. We are trying to do that. And yet, no matter how hard we try, no matter how successful we are at it, we are outnumbered. It is the narrow way. On the narrow way, there is no mixture of lifestyles, no mixture of religions, no mixture. It's the way that Jesus has called us to follow, the way that's in the light. This path requires discipline. It requires discipline. There are just some things. It's a path of no compromise. It's a path that requires discipline. So many families who are compromising in their homes and allowing stuff into their homes that they shouldn't allow into their homes. And as a result of that, one day, you know, they find out their kids are starting to cuss, and they wonder, why are my kids cussing? They complain about that, but what kind of language were you modeling in your home? Homes that use the name of Jesus as any which way they want to. Friends, Jesus is not a cuss word. Jesus is the living Son of God. Amen. It's the way of the few. Out in Washington, we have some mountains. We have one in right near I live was Mount Rainier. And if you go drive up on the mountain, you get on some roads which are really thin. You can't put too many cars on those roads out there. If you do, you might risk running off the road. And so I've been on some of those roads. They're just really narrow. And you don't see a lot of cars. You might pass one every once in a while, but there's not a lot of cars on those roads. It's the way of the few. It's the narrow path. It's the way of the few. Jesus, you know, he says he was preaching, and he says to his disciples at something that was kind of controversial, and people are starting to leave him, and he says to his disciples, are you going to leave me too? The message of Jesus Christ is a stumbling block. It's the way of the few. If we want crowds, you appeal to the crowd. If we want to draw a crowd, you appeal to the crowd. But the path of following, you know, this is the path of following Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You say, well, that is, that's pretty narrow thinking. I say, yes, it is. Jesus is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. Some might say, he's not the only way. And I say, well, who's going to deal with your sin? Who's going to deal with your sin? Well, I'm just going to confess it, you might say. Well, friends, confessing your sin is not the same as having your sin totally washed away and forgiven. And keep in mind the context of what I'm saying this. If you do not believe that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, you don't believe Jesus is the way, and you just say, well, I'm just going to confess my sin, or I've heard this. You say, well, I lived a good life. Your sins won't be washed away because, listen, Jesus came. He's sent by the Father. Jesus laid down his life. He had a reason for laying down his life, and that was the shedding of his blood. We sang the song talking about the blood of Jesus. He shed his blood in order that you might be forgiven of your sins. Jesus paid it all, and he did it for you. The Bible says that the soul that sins, the person that sins, dies. For all have come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. The person that sins dies. But Jesus made a way for you and me by laying down his life, by surrendering himself on the cross of Jesus. Jesus made that way. He became the sacrifice for us that we sang in the song earlier. He became that sacrifice. He became that substitute. Jesus made the way for us. The cross is the symbol of God's love. God gave his only Son, Jesus, that he might die for us, that we could be set free from our sins. Jesus had to pay our sin debt. When you trust him as your personal Lord and Savior, you're declaring that you are accepting that Jesus is the Son of God, that he did come, that he did die, that he did pay for your sins. When you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you are surrendering your life to him. This is the narrow path. It's the path of following after Jesus. If you ask forgiveness, If I were to ask forgiveness, say I were to die today and tomorrow ask God forgiveness for my sin, why would He forgive me? If you ask for forgiveness today, why would He forgive you today? Well, because of Jesus. If you ask forgiveness and you don't truly mean it, you're just saying words. You're to live a godly life. The Bible says we are new creatures in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. New creatures in Christ. When we accept Jesus, it is a life decision. It is a life choice. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are saying, I am not on that broad path. I am on the narrow path. It is a life choice, a decision we make in our heart that we are not walking down the broad and the wide way that leads to destruction. But we are walking down that narrow path which leads to life. The life that follows after Jesus Christ. It is the narrow way. It is the way that causes us to make that difficult choice that so many don't want to make because it means surrendering themselves. It means giving up who they are. Giving up their sins. Giving up their selfishness and giving their life over to Jesus Christ. Living for Him. There are only two paths. They do not lead to the same destination. The roads, they don't reconnect. There are roads out here that reconnect. You could take this road, 1484, and it'll take you all the way back around and reconnect with another road out there, 105, and it'll all reconnect. These roads do not reconnect. They are not headed to the same destination. One day, friend, there is a judgment. One day, Jesus Christ will return, and there is a judgment. If you live for Jesus Christ, if you're on that narrow road, then you have, the Bible says, eternal life. But if you're on that broad way, it is, what does it say, the road that leads to destruction. These roads do not come together. They are headed two different destinations. If you reject Christ, you're headed down that road towards eternal destruction. What would you say at the judgment in the presence of God? I know what you would say, nothing. Well, at least I just picture myself in God's presence and just the absolute glory of God and how in awe I am of Him. But I also picture those that live the life of sin, that were on that broad way and being in the presence of God and the fear of being in the presence of God. Some think that they can live carnal and still make it into God's kingdom. Some think they can continue to live any which way they want to just because they have a family which claims to be Christian, they're going to make it into God's kingdom. That's not how God works. But you say, but God is love. God is love and He's not going to do that to me. Well, yes, He is love, and that's why He gave us a way through Jesus Christ. That's why He gave Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Yes, God loves us. That's why He did it. What about those who have not heard the gospel, friends? You're trying to skirt around the whole question. Because the reality is, you've heard the gospel. You've heard the gospel. If you live for your own desires and passions, then you are a carnal person, a carnal Christian. What does it mean to be carnally minded? Well, it means, you know, all of us have some of that natural man on us, that natural person living a natural life. Dealing with our own natural emotions and our natural appetites, our natural desires. It's a part of being human. It's a part of the human condition that we have desires and passions and we lust after things. We all have capacity to sin against God. Galatians chapter 5:16 says, if I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What it means, if you read it this way, we have the ability to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You have that choice there. You have that option there. Jesus is not going to twist your arm and say, now that you're a Christian, you can't do that. No, we have that ability. But he says, if you walk by the Spirit, if you walk by His Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because God is going to do everything in His power to draw you away from a sinful life. For the flesh lusts, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. There's an assumption here that what we please is to do that which is sinful. But there is that war against each other. If we are walking by the Spirit, well, they're in opposition to one another, totally opposed to one another. And if we're walking by the Spirit, we're not going to do that which pleases our flesh, which causes us to sin, because we're going to listen to God. We're going to be obedient. And friends, I know this is a hard and a harsh message. Two roads! But let me tell you that Jesus loves you, and God is so willing to forgive you. If you make a mistake and mess up, He is willing and able to forgive you. That's not what I'm preaching about here today. I'm not preaching about our simple mess-ups and mistakes. I'm preaching about two roads. Making a decision in life which road you are going down. Making a decision in life which path, which journey, which gate that you're walking through, which road you're on. I started reading with my son, it's that book, it's the the Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim's Progress. I started reading with my son, the Pilgrim's Progress. And what an awesome book. And you see Christian in the book. Has everybody read that book? Okay, so awesome book. If you have never read it, you should read it. Incredible book. There are new versions of it out now that are actually easier to read. But Christian in that book is on a road, and he starts journey. He starts leaving his family because he realizes that destruction is coming. He's got this burden of sin on his back. He's on this road, and he's got these two guys that go with him right at the beginning of the story. One's name is Pliable, and the other's name is, help me out here, whoever's read the book. What's the other guy's name? Obstinence? Is that the other guy's name? And Obstinence is like, they get to this place in the road, and Obstinence is like, I am not going any further, I am going back. Mr. Pliable, come back with me. And Mr. Pliable goes, no, if what he says is true, I'm going to go with him. And so they continue to journey together until they get to this part which becomes really hard in the road, and Mr. Pliable goes, this is too hard for me, I'm turning back. But Christian keeps on going on this road. We are on a journey, we are on a path. Which road are you on? Which road are you choosing? Which road are you going down? Don't turn back. For those that are fulfilling the flesh, the question could be, well, are they saved? Are they saved? That's an excellent question. Jesus says we know them by their fruits in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 20 through 23 says, therefore by their fruits you will know them. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonderful works in your name? But then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice evil. The way of reading this is, even though they were saying they were doing all these things, Jesus never had a real, genuine relationship with them. He did not know them. It doesn't matter what they were trying to do. What matters is that they had a relationship. They were on that narrow path. Obvious from this passage, they weren't. For those that are living according to their own passions, own desires, living the carnal life on the broad path, will they be saved? I think Jesus makes the answer pretty clear. He says, depart from me, you who practice evil. What does it mean to practice? What does he mean by practicing? Well, practice is this idea of we're doing something on an ongoing basis. If you think of a medical doctor having a practice, he wouldn't be a good medical doctor unless he was doing it a lot, unless he knew what he was doing. You wouldn't trust him otherwise. If you think of practicing guitar or practicing for basketball or practicing anything, the only way to get really good at it is to do it over and over and over again. This idea that those who practice evil, they are living a lifestyle of evil. They're living a lifestyle where they're doing, this is their life. This is a part of who they are. Not talking about you messing up today and asking God forgiveness and getting back on the right path. Talking about these two paths. Which path are you on? Which gate are you going through? Which road are you walking down? Which ones are your friends going down? Which ones are your family going down? Do you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because to believe is an action word. It means that we are going to truly surrender our lives to Him. Do you believe He is the Son of God? Because if you do, you're going to surrender your life to Jesus. But if you believe that He is just a man, that all He did was come on this world as a man, and that's all He ever was, then you will think that whatever you do in life is right. Because you're not going to believe His words. Belief is an action. It's a surrender to Jesus. It's a surrender to God. God, I am on the road. I am following after You. Following is an action word. We follow after Jesus. Amen. If you want to get on the right path, you must be willing to surrender. You cannot straddle the path. There is no straddling the path. There are only two paths. One following after Jesus, and one which is the broad road, which leads to destruction, disappointment. If you are willing to believe in Jesus Christ and are willing to repent of your sin and surrender your lives to Him, you can enter into the small gate and begin following Jesus on the narrow way. If for some reason the Bible bothers you, you do not live by it, don't want to live by it, what are you going to live by? Where's your eternal life? Where will you be when you die? If you do not die by it, then what are you going to die by? If you've been living your life in darkness your own way, and you want to get on the right path today, you can. You can do it today. Worship team, would you come up?